My brain's flying all over the world. Mamash around the world in 80 seconds. What happened to my... It's unbelievable. The Yetzirah gets into you and I'm thinking about this, thinking about that. And of course, the money's always over there and there's some this and that and thinking of, I got to do things, my agenda. It's unbelievable how easily our minds are captivated and daydreaming big time. So, and if a person's really involved in this pranasa, it's so hard to turn it off when you're davening, when you're learning. Even when you're learning, you just can't turn it off. So the aside of all avoida in pranasa is yigia kapecha, work with your hands. Your hands? Very good. I've told you many times the vort of the Shemi Shmuel. Such a great vort. Remember this vort. Remember nothing else from this morning. Remember this vort. So the Gemara says in the Kedushin. Gemara says in the Kedushin there's five obligations a father has towards his son. The Bris Mila. Make a pidyon ben where it's applicable, and he has to teach him Torah, and he has to marry him off, and he has to teach him a parnasa, has to teach him numnas. Yep, that's true. But then the Gemara says, and some say there's a sixth thing you owe to your son, and that is you have to teach him how to swim. Can I teach him how to swim? So the question is, I mean, okay, the first five we understand, very important things. And swimming is also very important. I'm all believer in swimming. But if it's only because of the life-saving aspect of swimming, there's a lot of other things you gotta know, you know? Become a Boy Scout. You gotta learn how to, it's good, karate is a good thing to also for life. You gotta know CPR, you gotta know the Heimlich maneuver, you gotta know first aid. You gotta know a lot of things to, if it's a life-saving thing, what's happens the Gemara chooses from all the things, to know how to swim. There's a lot of other important things you need, even better than swimming, I think, in this day and age, to save your life. So the Heilig Hashemi Shmuel, the Sachach of Rebbe says, no, this is a metaphor. Now the Gemara says that a father owes his son swimming lessons is actually coming after the fifth statement. The fifth thing the Gemara says, yo, your son is. Your child, you have to teach him a parnasa. You have to teach your child a parnasa. Very important. But you can also destroy your child giving him pranasa. Because you have to be careful how you teach your child pranasa. You can mamash destroy his neshama too. If you do it the wrong way, you send him to the wrong places. So what are the criteria for teaching your child a parnasa? You have to teach him parnasa like you teach him how to swim. And the great rule of swimming is, when you swim, you do those strokes, you gotta put your hands into the water, make good deep strokes. And you gotta kick with your feet, good, strong kicks. You gotta work on your kick. I'm a good swimmer. I'm a senior lifesaver. You gotta do strokes and you gotta kick and you gotta put your hands and your feet in the water. But one thing, please lift out of the water, your head. You gotta keep it a little bit for streamlining purposes. You wanna be a racer. But please don't leave your head in the water for more than 5 minutes or so, you know, because you might not come up again. Make sure you really keep your head above water so you can breathe. That you said in parnasa too. Yeah, that's such a parnasa where your hands and your feet are into it. Physically you're into it, but it doesn't drown your mind, that your whole brain is totally submerged in your parnasa. That's such a parnasa which is not going to affect your brain, affect your breathing, affect your neshama. That's the kind of parnasa you have to choose. Nishmet the cup. You work with your hand. But it says, Yegia kapecha ki soichel. And the Gemara says, therefore, God on the hand of me, Yegia kapa v'yei shemayim. Greater is the person who enjoys the fruit of his hands' toil, yegia kapov, then a person who has fear of heaven. Because you can have fear of heaven, but you can be a yirei shemayim on one hand, and be a big shomer Torah mitzvah, but when it comes to parnasa, your head's totally in the parnasa. And your head is so in the parnasa that you have no time to think about higher aspirations and spiritual ambitions. Your head is mama drowned in the parnasa. Better to, God on the hand of yegia kapov, a person who has that ability, it's not easy, to just enjoy the fruit of his hand's labor, but his head is unaffected. And even as he's in the store, his mind is thinking about Gemara, about a Chazal, and he's thinking about Steigen between customer to customer. He's learning who can do that, or in the office between telephone calls, he's learning something. I know a doctor. I have a doctor, my president, my shul in Miami. Good man, the good doctor, brilliant fellow. He was a professional cellist actually at one point in his life. He's very brilliant. Anything under thanks he can do. Very bright guy. Now he's a radiologist. And he's a Baal Tshuva. And this fellow, when he first moved to Makila, moved to Miami, so the real estate agent says, no, let me show you houses. and there's this kind of a house and this kind of a price range and that, and some underwater, some not underwater, some are better, some are worse. He says, listen, that is not my criteria for moving to Miami Beach. My criteria is, what is going to be with my spiritual growth? Take me to the rabbi. Take me to your leader. I don't know any rabbis. Well, you better find out. I'm not a customer until you. I first have to one find out where my neshama is going to reside. How is my neshama going to fare in Miami Beach? Well, somebody got to me, and after he checked out the spiritual climate of the neighborhood, then first he checked out the real estate. Mary Dick and the Belt. Younger, he was, I don't think he was in his 30s yet, even when he moved there. It must be about 15 years ago. So the fellow, he checked out the ruchnias. Is there a yeshiva nearby? Is there a kolel? Is there shuls? How's the kashrut? Where's the mikvah? Is there an eruv? The main thing is, will I have chavrusas? Will I be able to get chavrusas to learn? That was his first criteria. Will I have a chavrusa to learn with? Because he gets up every morning at 5 o'clock. He paid a younger man from college to learn with them. Serious learning. Not the baby stuff learning. He wasn't learning tales, legends of the Talmud in the morning. Tales of the Talmud. He was learning Gemara. He wanted to learn how to learn. A smart fellow. I remember years later, if they left Miami, he still calls me up for all the spiritual questions. He said, when is the Rav Shaili? You know I get up at 5 o'clock and I have a chavrusa. And we learn Begin Kedushin. Then they have another chavrusa during Shulchan Aruch. And I'll tell you what he does during the day. I'm not telling you what he does in his office. But he says, do you think I should start learning Daf Yomi? I said, well, you know, you're already learning twice as much as I do. I'm embarrassed. That's okay. I'm not even, it's no joke. But I'm not, well, what can I tell you? But I said, you know, anybody else, I think you're crazy, you'll be meshuggah. But you, you're amazing. You can do anything you want. If you can conceive it, you can achieve it. Go for it! And he's on the Daf Yomi also. Daf Yomi. And he's amazing. But in his office, he runs radiology at Southern Baptist. Nice place for a nice Jewish boy. He's head of radiology at Southern Baptist. So once I take an x-ray, this is about 9 years ago, I needed an x-ray. He said, come down to me, I'll give you good x-rays. Fine. So I came down to him to see what's going on in Southern Baptist of States. He's sitting with his yarmulke there. He has a big office, private, and the office, there's no diplomas, no this and that, university of this and that, no medical journals, just one thing, svarim, all over the place. He sits there, he learns, and any shvera, kol ha-davra ha-koshev, parshas Yisro, kol ha-davra ha-koshev, v'yelai, every shvera film is a shvera x-ray, and the little, his subordinates can't read it. So they bring him the Shrey X-ray and he passed his kosher tray. Yeah, okay, right there. He's back this Gemara. That's unbelievable. It's mamash unbelievable. But the main thing is he's concerned about neshama more than his guf. So I never tell you this story. One day I was during Daf Yomi. This must be a long time ago. I haven't given a shir Daf Yomi for a while. We're learning Rosh Hashanah Daf Yomi. I was giving a shir Daf Yomi early in the morning. The Sefer Rosh Hashanah. I believe it's Daf Dalit, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sure Mr. Rabbi Leif here can correct me, but it's a great time to come in here. So the Gemara says over there, Nitzvah Shegol Liyiminecha. Gemara is a shayla. What it means the Pasuk in Tilim, Nitzvah Shegol Liyiminecha. One thing it says that Shegol is a dog. So the Gemara says, Pshat in the Pasuk, that Chaviva Torah Liyisrael, I'm not sure what it says, can I have a Gemara Shoshana? Gemara says over there in Shoshana, that the Torah is Chaviv to Yidden as much as dogs are chavis to a goyim. The Yidden love Torah like goyim love their dogs. Very strange. Or maybe it says even more than the dogs. So it's a very strange statement in the Gemara. Thank you. Very strange statement. And Mitzvah Shegol Liyiminecha. So I was telling the Olam, I don't understand. It's a very strange way of comparing. Yeah, that Dalit. The Gemara says that Mitzvah, yeah? Shegel's a dog. Zok the Gemara that the schar shechaviv v'tar liyisrael kishegel. The tire is chavit to yidden like a shegel, like a dog is to the goyim. Very strange metaphor. That's how we love tire, like they love the goyim. Didn't this damn shot. So suddenly, he walks in. This doctor, right before shacharis, he says. Looks on me privately, looks on me publicly, says, I'll tell you, I'll suggest a pshat to the Rav. Pshat like this, you see, I try to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to learn. But I noticed recently that my next door neighbor on North Bay Road, he walks his dog every morning. He gets up 4:30 to walk his dog. I said, if this guy can get up 4:30 to walk his dog, I shouldn't get up for Tyre at 4:30, so I get up 4:30 now. So he learned from the way the goyim, that's the pshat, he has to learn from anything in the world. When you see an exaggerated love, something which is meshuggah, the goyim love their dogs, they're meshuggah with air conditioned kennels, right, and dog psychiatrists. So when you see how meshuggah the goyim are loving their dog, that's how meshuggah the avzayim b'tayir. He's not going to be crazy at 4:30 in the morning to learn, a busy long day ahead of him. But no problem. And he's so crazy about Torah, so now he's the president of the Aguda in the Mazar, Florida, and the Kailal over there, and this and that. When you have love for Torah, and you put your neshama over your guf, no problem. That's exactly what the Chavzov is saying. He's saying that we have to love our bodies, and we have to love our souls. But the love of the soul has to far surpass our body. Far surpass. Oh, he says, because if you're going to put the love of your body first, then Manashech, he says, the body is a very dangerous thing. He says, Manashech, if you get rich, you're in big trouble. Wealth is very dangerous. No one seems to be too concerned about that. If you're wealthy, so you'll have extra money, some astami, you'll start pampering yourself with all kinds of luxuries, maestros, unnecessary things, because you got the money. You know, there's nothing like having money burning in your pocket. I have this problem, I have money burning holes in my pocket all the time. I'm almost happy when this guy comes to collect the duck and get rid of some of this money. You know, but this money's bringing. We're so in love with ourselves. The Yetzirah is so strong that the minute we have to pack extra money in our pocket, it's crazy. People love spending money. That's why there's shopping malls. I mean, that's why there's BMWs in the world. That's why there's Alfa Romeos in the world. Because people got money, and what's the money for? It's not to pamper me. I love myself, and what's money? Money is, excuse me. So I have extra money, I'll pamper myself. So instead of going to shir today, you'll tell me, I'd love to come to shir this morning, but you know, I had to go shopping for my new SUV. And you know, and of course there's a recall, and I've got a safer SUV, every year we got a Navigator or something, Rabbi, and the BMW. This year's Navigator, this year the BMW has a Zaman Zetzer, you know. I have extra money, if you have extra money, you gotta spend it. If you're not gonna buy a new car, you have to remodel your house, because it's been 18 months since your last remodeling, so it's overdue. It's overdue. You got money. So a lot of extra money is dangerous. You'll have to spend it. And when you spend it, you'll waste time on that. And the other way is you never get poor. Poor, it's also gefährlich. Because you're nisroi came, a tayra musr. When you're poor, you're so involved, you're so never, so totally caught up in your poverty, that you have no time to learn, no time for musr, because you're pushing, your mind's going crazy. Like Shlomo Melech says, Shtayim Shaltim Itach. Shlomo Melech himself says in Mishlei, I ask for two things from the Rabbi Shlom. Rosh, Reish, V'Oishu Al Titanli. Hashem, don't give me extremes. Don't make me poor. And don't make me rich. I don't want to be rich, Shlomo Melech. I don't want it. Hatrifeni Lechem Chuki. Give me just what I need, my daily bread, my daily ration. Hatrifeni Lechem Chuki. You know why? Penezva V'Kichashti. Because if I have too much, first of all, I'll run after luxuries. Number two, when you get wealthy, we believe in our money more than God. Pen ezba v'gichashti, maybe I'll become content and I'll be ungestopped and I will deny my need for God. Yes, I will become, of course I go to shul, so of course I'm going to tefillin, but really in my heart of hearts, I don't have to daven too hard today because we have ungestopped bank account. What can happen to me, God? Well, you can get me sick? I have millions. I can build my own hospital. You can do something to me? I'll build my house. Whatever you want to do. I'm loaded. I can do what you want. Whatever you want. I can help everybody. I'm loaded. I'm loaded. Whatever I need, I can have. You see, it's a shtickle kfira. Not total kfira. I put on tefillin, I daven every day. Can I say I'm putting my hands in God's hand? Can I say I'm putting my life in God's hand? Do I feel a sense of surrender? Do I need God? Come on. Come on. So, pen ezba gichashti, v'marti, mi Hashem, who needs God? And pen ivarish v'in genafti, I don't want to be poor either because I'm so poor, I might become a thief. I might steal. If I don't steal directly, I'll cheat a little bit. I'll misrepresent, I'll do things, v'genafti. So therefore, that's what Yaakov Aminu, when Yaakov asked Hashem for a blessing, when Yaakov had the vision of the ladder, and Hashem said to him, so ask what you want. So Yaakov said, V'nosam lechem le'echol. You hear the diuk. They say the chassid. I heard it. The chassid is a diuk. It's mamash. The Chazal says it. V'nosam lechem le'echol. I ask Hashem to give me lechem. How much bread you give me? Lechol, enough to eat for today. Beged. How many begadim do I want? How much clothes do I want? Lilbush, enough to wear. I didn't buy 5 extra suits just in case. I don't have a well-stocked freezer. I'm not asking for a well-stocked freezer. I'm not asking for my full pantry. I want lechem. Lechol. Beged, just enough to wear. Let me have one good suit, one for Shabbos, one for the weekdays, one pair of shoes, one for the Shabbos, the weekdays, I'll lay it, that's all. So he says, my friend, He says, you got to be very careful. I'm going to jump for a second because I have to stop. Today I really have to stop because I have to leave early today. But he says later on in a meditation, he says, you got to be so careful. He says, not if you're not going to work on your neshama, which is the most precious thing, and to put your kaychas into the body. He says a mashal. He said, I'll give you a mashal. And great people give mashalim. Someday, again, today it's a little too late. I have to discuss with you more the concept of mashal. But he says, the mashal is to a king who gave his servant, he said, you have been very good in battle, you're loyal, I'm giving you a big piece of land, 10 acres, 100 acres of land. I'm going to give you seed that you can plant the entire area. But of course, you'll take a portion, and I'll take a portion. You're working for me. It's my land, but since you've been a good soldier, I'm going to give you the privilege to work a lot of land, and I'm going to give you the seeds for it as well. Meanwhile, the worker was lazy, and why should I plant 100 acres, and it'll take me such a long time to plow it, and to plant it, and to fertilize it, and then farm. I'd rather just, instead of using this 100 bushels of seeds for 100 acres, let me eat 50 bushels and grind it into bread, and I'll work only 50 bushels. This way I can enjoy some of the seed, and this way I'll have time because I only work on 50 acres. So why should I do so much? 50 acres is also good. Now, I'll do the 50 acres very good. I'll do the 50 acres very good, and I'll later. He sounds very good. He sounds like he's a good servant. The 50 acres have grown very, very beautifully. The 50 acres are a wonderful crop, big amount. But when the end of the year comes and the king asks for din v'cheshbon, the king says, well, okay, I gave you 100 acres. You accepted 100 acres. I gave you 100 acres. Did you do the whole 100 acres? No. How many did you do? 50. Oh. So already you betrayed me. Yeah. And what happened to the 100 bushels of seed that I gave you? What did you do with that? Did you use it all for me? Did you plant it like I told you? No. How much did you plant? 50. What did you do with the other 50? Ace myself. Azoy! Into the dungeon with you. You're unfaithful. What do you mean I'm unfaithful? Look what I did with the 50. You're not faithful. You stole. You didn't, 50 you didn't use. You wasted 50 acres. And like that, the 50 seeds you wasted also. Says the Chavis of Avos, the same thing with Rabbi Shlom. If Hashem gave us a great mind, Hashem gave you kayach, physical strength, and a great mind, and he also gave you the wherewithal, and he gave you the money, and he gave you the pranasa, and we said, I could really sit and learn much more, but I have no time to enjoy myself. So I know Hashem gave a great mind. I could learn shas easily, but why should I? You know what? I'll learn half shas. Is Oish left? Half shas? I'll better yet. I'll learn shas, but only babbly. Why should I learn Yerushalmi? Come on, who learns Yerushalmi anyway? But you have a great head. You're not the regular person. You could learn Yerushalmi. You could learn some Zoya. You can know Shulchan Aruch. Look, I learned Mishnah Berurah. I have to learn more than Aruch Chaim? I learned the Mishnah Berurah Chaim. Even as I never saw in my life, Chasham Mishra, I don't know what talking about. Yardaya. No, Yardaya is for rabbis. I go to Rabbi Foyer Shir every Shabbos morning, 8 o'clock in the morning. At that rate, we finish Aruch Chaim in about 97 years or so, maybe. We'll finish, it's going to happen. I learn Aruch Chaim. I go to Rabbi Foyer Shir. I go Sunday morning also. Every Sunday morning I go to that crazy minion, that long schlep, that minion, 8 o'clock, where they daven so slow. And then I come to his Chovos Levavos, and I also come to the Sanhedrin Shir, which will finish the Sanhedrin in another 15 years or so. So I'm doing good. Most people don't come to the Shurim. Most people are already home at 9 o'clock reading the New York Times and having bagels and lox. Yeah. No, I'm sorry, my friend. You have a whole Sunday. You have a whole day. You have a great mind. You have a great head. You know how to learn. Why don't you learn Chavrusa later on? Why don't you learn some more? Why don't you learn every day? Why don't you do more? Why don't you could have learned Shas. You could have easily learned Shas. Chazit. You could have easily done it. You could have finished Shisha Sidre Mishnah. I know a person who finished Shisha Sidre Mishnah every month. I'm talking to myself, believe me. I am talking to myself. I don't begin to tap my own potential. Says the Chavos Levavos, if we're looking at the Shamas, we're not even beginning to tap our potential. Hashem's going to get very angry at us. You can't throw Hashem a few scraps. I went to this year, Hashem. I went to that. I went to 4 or 5 shiurim a week, Hashem. So what? How much is the aggregate of all your 4 or 5 shiurim a week? 2 hours a week? 3 hours a week? You could have done much better. I gave you a bigger mind. I gave you the seeds. I gave you the lamb. I gave you everything. It's not enough. You were not thinking like a seicher about your neshama. You were not thinking about your mind and your soul. And you're going to pay for it someday. The day of reckoning is coming. You look at it. So everyone's scared about the reckoning of the IRS. Everyone's very scared. As a matter of fact, this week I was thinking to myself, I was driving with somebody on the Palisades, and the person wasn't paying attention, and there they were, 75 miles an hour, and suddenly, it happened. There he is, Smokey Bear's behind us, lights are flashing, and this is a very, I thought I'd never had a nice cop in my life, such an able cop. I'm so sorry to stop you. I mean, I'm only doing it if you're good, you shouldn't get into a car crash. I'm only doing it if you should, I just want to be safe. And you're going 75 in a 50 mile zone, so I gotta give you a ticket. I'm gonna lower it to 70 because 75 is very serious already, so I'll lower it on the ticket to 70. I'm really sorry to do this, but he was such an able cop, such a nice cop. And I said, wow, if only we had such a guy in shul. When we're speeding during davening, you know, get a little carried away with ourselves. If we had a little cop who could just come over and say, I mean nothing personal, but I just want to. So here, sometimes the chazan goes a bit fast, and I'm the boss of you. I'm the rabbi. You know, I'm in charge here. I'm in charge. Remember that. I got the badge. No, and you know, I'm not afraid of getting fired over here because I don't got a contract to start with. You know. So what do I have to do? I have nothing to be afraid of. I have nothing to worry about. And here, this guy has nothing to say, and yet when he's going too fast, I hesitate to go over and tell him to be quiet. I don't know. I don't want to make a fuss. You know. You know it is. You know it is. We just. I could be nice. It's like that cop. It's his job. I'm not doing my job. If I let a chazan go zooming away, I'm not doing my job. But I wish. I said. I wish we had a traffic. Can we invent such a traffic cop? Some kind of program like when you're diving, have something clipped up to ourselves to a beeper, and we're going, you know, too fast, like more than 30 words a minute. I think 30 words a minute, 50 words would be good. About, and you know, if you're going a little too fast, we'll start beeping and get some of a fine. Nice, hefty fine. Those 70 mile an hour fines are not cheap either, you know, it's about $100 or so. It's a whole cheshbon how you do it. We should have traffic. I'm serious. But in the Shama, we don't think about these things. Physically, the world demands. The people would want, we want cops on the Palisades, because when I'm going 75 or something, I don't want a cop to catch me. But if the other guy's going 75, I do want a cop to catch him, because he's meshugging there, because I don't want to crash him to somebody else or crash him to me. So really, we want cops. We do want cops, actually. So in Gashmias, society has set up cops for dangerous drivers. But in Ruchmias, everything goes. We're drunken drivers, we're fast drivers, we're no drivers, we're gefährlich. So the Chavzov says, Rabbi Isa, we're not thinking about neshamas. We're not thinking about neshamas enough. We're putting all our efforts into the welfare of our bodies, and no one gives a second thought about neshama. This is the meditation. Rabbi Isa, hopefully we'll continue that. I'm toying with the idea of maybe making a hesed for the Shloshim of Rav Gifter next Sunday morning. We'll see. Keep in touch. If we do, we'll let you know. But otherwise, everything is on schedule. Have a good week. And chusu na'al neshama.